We are now into the second day of former President Trump's impeachment trial in the Senate, and it's widely expected that Trump will be acquitted because most Republicans will likely vote to acquit. Our next guest says that's because those opposed to institutions have a strong grip on the GOP. And if that continues, it could have dire consequences for our democracy. Professor William Howell is a political scientist at the University of Chicago Harris School of Public Policy and co-author of Presidents, Populism, and the Crisis of Democracy. Professor Howell, welcome.
It's good to be with you.
As you watch the impeachment trial, what are you listening for in their language, how they justify their votes, and what this really tells us about the Republican Party?
Well, I think what we're seeing right now is a kind of widespread act of faith by the Republican Party to continue to stand by Trump. We've seen, nobody expects the conviction to get, the votes for conviction to get up to the requisite 67. And while much was said about the 10 Republicans in the House who voted with all of the Democrats to impeach, less was said about the fact that over 190 Republicans voted against impeachment, that this very much remains a party that's willing to stick with Trump and with the kind of populist claims and postures that he assumed.
I mentioned your argument about the anti-institutional hold on the Republican Party. Your argument is that this leaves only one major party, the Democrats, thinking critically about sustaining well-functioning institutions or creating or reforming new ones. What are the ramifications of this for our country?
The ramifications are really dire. Our democracy is on its heels. The levels of faith in our institutions are low. We've seen an administrative state that's hollowed out. There's a tremendous amount of work that needs to be done in order to rebuild and reconstitute our democratic institutions. And as long as we have a major party in the throes of populism and right-wing populism, then the other remaining party that isn't always going to have the right answers, that is itself riven with cleavages of its own, doesn't have a partner with which to work, to set to work on these challenges.
Yeah, I want to parse that out just a little bit.
Yeah,
I want to parse that out just a bit. The argument from Republicans on this is that they are very much purists. I mean, patriots even. And in the case of whether President Trump incited an insurrection, they're referencing and interpreting the Constitution directly. What do you say to that?
Well, I think there's both sides reference the institutions for their own, the Constitution for their own kind of political purposes in a variety of ways. A thing to note here is that populism, as scholars understand it, is a profoundly anti-democratic force in our politics. Because the language of populism is to say that everything is rigged, everything is broken, right? Everything is stolen. And that's the language that Trump assumed throughout his presidency. It justifies his emergence on the scene in 2015, 2016. But there isn't then a turn to constructive action. There isn't a turn to say, okay, things are broken, now let's try to fix them. Instead, the effort is to continue to sow outrage, sow disaffection, in order to undermine the independence and the operational functioning of our institutions. And in that sense, to the extent that those forces in our politics have taken hold of a major party, it becomes incredibly difficult to do the hard work of reimagining the institutions, breathing new life into our institutions that govern our public lives.
As you alluded to earlier, as you're saying that the Democratic Party doesn't have all the answers. What they're looking for is a partnership. Do you have any concerns that a wing of the Democratic Party could also go in another direction of becoming more populist or anti-institutionalist?
Well, I think we have examples of left-wing populism that we can point to in other countries, particularly in Latin America. There's a long history of left-wing populism. Given the coalitional makeup of the Democratic Party, it's less likely to take hold here, at least now, that there aren't anti-democratic, small-d democratic strains of the kind of coalitions of the Democratic Party in ways that sort of authoritarianism and grievance and anger and disaffection have taken hold of an important segment of the Republican Party. So I think it's less likely. But I'll say again, you know, the work of institution building is really hard work. And in a polarized era, when you have one party that's simply not particularly interested in undertaking that work in a good faith way, the chances of us doing, you know, undertaking the efforts needed to save our democracy are really undermined.
You know, President Trump was able to gather such a following because of his criticism of the government, parts of which he called the deep state. And a lot of Americans don't feel like the government is functioning well for them. I mean, you've sort of laid out a roadmap of what should be done. But what reforms do you think in the immediate need to happen?
So in our book that I wrote with Terry Moe, you know, we point to a reimagined presidency and really reconstituting the powers of the presidency with an eye towards building a more effective government, a government that actually can speak in a meaningful way to the anger and grievance and disaffection that, you know, many, many Americans feel. So what would that reimagined presidency look like? It has to do with decreasing the president's ability to politicize the administrative state, rethinking the president's involvement in the legislative arena by giving the president a certain measure of agenda-setting powers. There are a host of particular institutional reforms. We ought to get rid of the pardon. Mm-hmm. We lay these out in the book, but it really gets down to kind of reimagining the presidency and the role that the president kind of plays in our system of separated powers.
Professor William Howell is a political scientist at the University of Chicago Harris School of Public Policy. Thanks for this conversation.
It was great to talk to you.